From Minnesota Public Radio, this is Grammar Grader. It's the podcast about words, grammar, and usage for the information age. This week's episode, A Sure Thing.
May I help? Who's next?
Oh, that's me.
Do you need any stamps today?
No, but I need to send this parcel to New York.
All right. First class? Priority? Which would you like, ma'am?
Well, it's a birthday gift for my brother, and I need to ensure it gets there by next Tuesday.
Well, you can insure the package for any amount if that's what you want.
Just ensure me this package gets to him by Tuesday.
Well, I assure you, ma'am, we'll do our best. Anything fragile in here?
Oh, yes. It's a valuable gift. Please assure this package for $75.
Okay. Priority mail, insurance, delivery confirmation. Looks like it's ready to go.
And it will be there by Tuesday?
I'm sure.
Assure, ensure, insure. That's what we're talking about today. Dale, a listener from Invergrove Heights, Minnesota, sent this message to us.
I often hear people use the words insure and ensure improperly. At least I think they've used them improperly. Maybe you could ensure my grammatical correctness by clarifying their proper use.
When talking about insure and ensure, the word assure inevitably enters the mix. Fowler's Modern English usage says that assure, ensure, and insure have intersecting paths in contexts involving aspects of certainty, assuredness, and security. To help us understand this better, we thought we'd get in touch with someone who probably deals with this trio of words on a weekly, if not daily, basis. Ruth Weber Kelly is head of ING Group Internal Communications at ING, a financial services company with operations in more than 50 countries around the world. Ruth joins us today from her office in Amsterdam. Welcome to Grammar Grader, Ruth.
Hi, Luke. Thank you.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, first of all, for context for our listeners, why don't you tell us what you do?
Sure. What I do here is I oversee internal communications for the group. And the key word there is internal communications, meaning that we focus on our internal audiences. Our all employees around the world, which number about 125,000 right now, our managers and our leaders.
So do you and your team frequently encounter the words assure, ensure, and insure in your daily work?
Every day, many times.
What's your shorthand for keeping these words separated?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Luke. I'm a bit of a grammar fan like you. And I have to say, I still may not be able to give you the exact point of grammar on lay and lie. But when it comes to these three words of assure, ensure, and insure, I've got these down pat. And I've got to say, it's thanks completely to the tough, curmudgeon-y teachers that I had in journalism school who absolutely insisted that we memorize such books as Strunk and White and the AP Style Guide. So for me, I can kind of rattle off this little formula that helps me and my team remember these. So it's you assure someone of something. You ensure that something is going to happen, and you insure yourself or someone else against a certain kind of risk.
So do you and your team have any tricks or hints that you could offer our listeners to help us keep these words straight?
One of my colleagues from the UK, I think, had a very helpful sentence that she uses to keep these straight. And the sentence that she uses relies on the fact that the beginning letter of each of the three words follows the order that these letters appear in the alphabet. So her sentence is, I assure you, I will ensure that I insure my house. So it goes in the order of the alphabet, A, E, I.
Okay, now some companies are life insurance companies and others are life assurance companies. Why is that? What's the difference between these?
Yeah, you know, I have to admit that this one had me stumped. And I can't say that my personal curiosity in the past had caused me to check this out, so I was really grateful to get your question because it made me really dig into something that I should know off the top of my head. So I did some research, and I found some information. But I have to say, I don't know that it's definitive because I think so much of this relies on the cultural context. For example, on a British website that I found, I learned that they define the central difference between life insurance and life assurance is that life insurance never has an investment value, but life assurance does. But I have to tell you, that's not how it's used practically at all.
Okay, do you have any parting thoughts about how to make this simpler for our listeners?
Luke, I think you know that I've been here in the Netherlands for a little over a year now. My family and I came in December of 2006 on an expat assignment. And so as part of this process, we've been also taking Dutch lessons. A basic word for insurance is verzekering. Now, if you want to talk about car insurance, it gets considerably more complicated, and the word for that is motorreitachenversekering. I challenge you and your listeners to say that three times fast.
Wow. So I guess you can say that those of us who speak English have it easier dealing with just assure, insure, and ensure rather than our Dutch counterparts.
I have to say I agree. And one of the things I'm grateful for is that the corporate language of ING Group is English, because I can't imagine doing this every day in Dutch.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Ruth. This was great. Dank u.
Okay. Dank u wel. Alsjeblieft.
Tot ziens. To paraphrase Fowler's, our discussion with Ruth today has left us with added certainty, assuredness, and security when using assure, ensure, and insure in our writing and conversations.
Hey, nice to see you again. Did your brother receive his present on time?
He did, thanks. I have another package I need to ensure will get to Phoenix by Wednesday. They'll probably cost me about $100.
Rest assured. Even if you insure the package, it'll be less than $100. So that's probably a relief.
Sure is.
How can I be sure in a world that's constantly...
This has been Grammar Grader from Minnesota Public Radio. Special thanks to Ruth Weber Kelly for joining us today. Source material for this episode comes from the Oxford Dictionary of Current English and from Fowler's Modern English Usage. Our guest, Ruth Weber Kelly, referenced the American Heritage Book of English Usage and Strunk and White's The Elements of Style. All of these books can be found at publicradiomarket.org. If you'd like to see a written companion to this episode, go to minnesotapublicradio.org and click on Grammar Grader in the Programs menu. Thanks as always to the Grammatis Personae players, Corey Bussey and Bridget Murphy. Our editor is Jen Houck. Our producer is Brett Baldwin. Executive producer is John Pearson. I'm Luke Taylor. Thanks for listening. And if you like Grammar Grader, join the discussion, give feedback, and share your thoughts at grammargrader.gather.com.
Whenever I'm away from you.